Welcome to this episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast. I'm Miranda Schmalfus, an editor for Pharmaceutical Executive. In this week's episode, I speak with Jim Sheehan, chair of the FDA regulatory practice at Lowenstein Sandler. Jim and I talk about what the top legal and regulatory concerns investors should consider when financing companies developing or marketing GLP-1s should be, how FDA and other regulators are likely to respond to the increased public interest of the potential off-use label of GLP-1 drugs, and much more. All right, Jim. Given the rising popularity of GLP-1 drugs for weight loss, what are the top legal and regulatory concerns that investors should consider when financing companies developing or maybe marketing these drugs?
So when you're talking about invest from the investor point of view, you have to look at it's a crowded marketplace. And what that typically means when you have a lot of drugs in a class, the route to approval becomes more difficult. The hurdles get a little harder because although technically you have to just show a drug is safe and effective, you don't have to show superiority to existing drugs on the market. In practice, that becomes a question of, let's say you have a slightly higher incidence of an adverse effect. That could make it more difficult for the product to get approved. So from an investing point of view, we know there's something like 110 or 20 compounds in development right now for weight loss in the GLP-1 and GLP-1 plus class. Not all of those are going to come to market. So I think you have to look very carefully as an investor at what's likely to happen. Who's going to get to market? How much room is there really when you have products from very established companies that are quite successful? Lilly and Novo Nordisk have franchises and they will be able to defend them. They can take steps, plus just the power of name recognition in the marketplace. People know Zepbound, Mounjaro, Ozempic, Wegovy, and some of these drugs will break through. With the statin class, you had some good examples. There were earlier ones, and then Lipitor came along and blew everyone out of the water. But there were a whole lot of companies at that time developing other statins that were not commercial successes or never saw the light of day. So from an investor point of view, looking to invest in these drugs, I think just pick and choose carefully. You might talk a little bit about the legal concern. Is there going to be product liability associated with these products? That's always a possibility. You have things like class action lawsuits on gastroparesis. On the other hand, when I was at Novo Nordisk, I think clinical trials started around 2002 or 2003. You now have people on the taking these products for 20-something years, and we have not seen a gigantic flood of unexpected adverse reactions. So I think there will be product liability suits, but I don't think they're going to be a significant problem for companies.
A point that you made in the middle of your answer that I thought was interesting was that those big names, they kind of exist already, right? Like Ozempic and Wegovy, they are kind of the Kleenex of the GLP-1 world, right? Like people say, oh, weight loss drug, your mind immediately goes there. And it is going to explode. I've had conversations where by 2030, this space is going to be crazy. And hopefully that will, expand access a little bit. But certainly, like you said, there's so many that are in development right now in the pipeline to come. Really, really interesting stuff. Definitely want to watch that space.
Right. Yeah. But the brand name thing, look, I have friends who, I think know that I work in healthcare and the pharmaceutical industry, but, they've known me for years, but couldn't tell you what companies I've worked for. They know the name Ozempic.
Right. Absolutely. And I follow some comedians and like the jokes are about Ozempic, So it's like once they're out there, Ozempic really, capitalized and Wegovy certainly right behind there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think those names, by the way, are much better than Zepbound and Mounjaro. They seem to trip off the tongue a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the importance of naming a drug well, is it's got to be able to flow right off the tongue. So based on your experience, how are the FDA and other regulators likely to respond to the increased public interest and potential off-label use of these GLP-1 drugs we're talking about? And what potential oversight measures should companies and investors be prepared for?
So anytime a class of drugs becomes popular and so widespread, FDA will and has a duty really to, monitor it closely to see what's going on with adverse reactions, make sure that, the known risks are being communicated and understood well. It is very interesting that, you have a class of drugs here where 30, maybe 35% of people who start taking them don't continue because of the initial reactions of nausea, et cetera. It's kind of linked to the mechanism of action. You take these products and you feel sick or full, like you've eaten too much. So for some people that never goes away and they stop taking the product. For most it does. So FDA will communicate or make sure that the message is out there about issues related to safety. But then it would harken back to what I was saying about products that are coming to the market afterwards. They will have a more significant task if they have a higher incidence of an adverse effect or some new adverse effect that hasn't been seen with the other drugs in the class that are already on the market. FDA will look at that and may say, why should we approve this drug? We have things out there that are already, shown to be safe and effective. As a regulator, why should we take a chance with something that has a different or a greater incidence of adverse reactions?
Great. Thank you for that. So now, what needs to be done for GLP-1 drugs to be covered?
On the insurance side, right now you have a situation where if we're talking Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound, they have dual approvals. On the one hand, they are approved for diabetes. On the other hand, with the different name, they are approved for weight loss. And Medicare, which drives a lot of the coverage, meaning that private insurers will often not cover something until Medicare does. Medicare won't cover the obesity usage. On the other hand, now that data is out there, the significant study that Novo Nordisk did over years showing that for non-diabetics, you take the product and you get a lesser risk of major adverse cardiovascular events. That's driving a current discussion as to perhaps Medicare should be covering these products. And you have other benefits that are being associated, but there was some kidney data out there. Just this morning, I was reading about a real-world study that showed Ozempic linked to a 30 to 40% decreased use of alcohol use disorder. So I think the data like that, and to a certain amount, public pressure will lead to greater coverage. The one thing that makes me hesitate, remember a number of years ago when hepatitis drugs came out that were a cure for a certain type of hepatitis, and it was kind of indisputable that they worked, that they were pretty safe, but it was a one-time cost and it was a high cost. And a lot of government players were opposed to paying for them because even though it was going to reduce the overall spend to treat hepatitis, that overall spend was spread out over years and years. Here you had one big upfront cost, and there was a lot of resistance, and a lot of states were slow to pay, particularly, it's things like a prison population or in the Medicaid population. Ultimately, that went away and everyone pays for the drugs. And, as a result, that scourge of a disease, as the incidence has fallen to something very low in the United States. I think, you may have a scenario like that playing out here. I've already seen rumblings of that. Governments wondering how they would pay, even if you just had, say, your state workforce suddenly start taking GLP-1 weight loss drugs. It's a challenge.
So from a corporate governance standpoint, what steps should companies developing or marketing weight loss medications take to ensure responsible and ethical practices, particularly in light of the potential for misuse or unrealistic expectations?
I think they, first of all, have to just play by the usual rules in this space, regarding off-label usage, where you simply cannot promote. You can, under the FDA rules, communicate truthful scientific information in a non-promotional manner. And I think that's already going on. The data gets published, it gets discussed at scientific conferences. But I think boards need to ensure that there is no promotional aspect involved. People are hewing to the rules, and the big companies, Lilly and Novo, are fully aware of these rules. They have large and well-trained, competent compliance departments, and they in turn train the sales and marketing people. But it doesn't hurt for the board to make sure that that is actually occurring and exercise some oversight there. Give us a presentation on your efforts to make sure that there's not off-label promotion going on would be one example.
So looking beyond GLP-1 drugs, do you see any broader trends or predictions for the future of the weight loss medication market? And are there any potential legal or regulatory issues on the horizon?
Yeah, beyond the GLP-1 drugs, there are new entrants in there. But first of all, you have already products, Zepbound and Mounjaro, are not just GLP-1s. They act also on the on GIP, another PEPT receptor. And Lilly has a triple combination in the works, not approved yet, but that's also looking something that is an agonist of the glucagon receptor. So I think within the class, you probably have more of those double and triple agonist products. Outside of that, the gold rush into weight loss is prompting people to look at a bunch of other mechanisms. And some of those probably are going to hit, show some safety and efficacy. And I'm very interested in that. What are we going to find out there now that we have so much of the industry and so many great minds focused on weight loss as a significant health problem? The other aspect is within the existing GLP-1 class, all the data that's showing effectiveness on what I would broadly call dependency type syndromes, drug use, alcohol, gambling. We know these drugs are active in the brain and have some effect on the reward loop that's activated when people engage in activities like drinking or drug use or gambling. And it wouldn't be at all surprising to me if we see other approvals for indications like that. That's the area that I find the most exciting right now.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. We got into this last question a little bit before, I honestly, in the first couple of answers, but just want to reiterate here, what advice do you have for investors and financiers who are considering entering the weight loss medication market?
So first of all, don't believe the hype. it's calmed down a little now, but remember when last summer when you had, crazy things like news would come out and the stock of fast food companies would go down. nothing is that revolutionary. So that's calmed down a little bit. But then I harken back to what I was saying. There's so many companies in this field, not all of them can hit. So I think you have to really do your homework and to pick and choose who are going to be the winners. And unlikely that you're going to have, you know, a small new company get established. You may have some of these companies that are small and are working on products. They will link up with the established players, or you know, Lilly or Novo, or one of the bigger drug companies that are, you know, eager to get into this market. And you've already seen several examples of that happening. So there will be some winners and there will be a lot of losers. So if you're an investor, do your homework well. or place a lot of bets and hope that a few of them pay off.
I'm a roulette player, so that's probably what I would do.
There you go. Play the 12 numbers out of 36 or something.
Put one on a corner and play four numbers at once, you know, spread it open, or just play thirds. Yeah. Jim, I've enjoyed our conversation today, and I know that our listeners and our viewers are going to get a whole lot out of this. So thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you, Miranda. Love to talk about this subject.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the PharmExec podcast, where we take you behind the headlines to provide expert tips from industry leaders. Remember, you can always find us on the web at pharmexec.com, on Twitter at PharmExec, and on Instagram at PharmExecutive. The views on this podcast do not reflect those of MJH PharmExec's parent company or our advertisers. For editorial questions or to get in touch with our editors, please email us at pharmexec@mjhlifesciences.com. And for sponsorship opportunities, please go to pharmexec.com/advertise. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time.